sometimes you prep for a show and you spend 4 or 5 hours and you got all the different angles. And then we give credit to somebody like Jay who calls in, and then everybody responds to Jay. And now we get to see on Twitter at GarySharp1620. People have done their research on who are the best position coaches in America, how much they make, and if Nebraska could afford them. It's going to be an interesting last 6 weeks of the season, Josh. Welcome. Woo! Welcome to the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone. 951-1620. Mike Schaefer's coming up a little bit later. I am sure it's going to be a lot of this, which is perfectly fine. More of you, less of me. Here is Jeff. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gary. Pleasure to be here. I wanted to talk about Scott's lack of accountability. The process of being a head coach means that you're responsible for everything. I think one of Scott's main problems is he's stubborn.
True.
His process is going to work, and because he is just going to keep hammering it and hammering it until it works. The problem is Scott has hung his horse on Adrian and has refused to recruit a quality quarterback in all the other years to make sure you have a backup to press Adrian. And right now, and even though Logan Smothers is from a town real close to me right now, he's a great runner, but he is not a starting quarterback. And I think Nebraska, especially Bill Moos, put us in a very poor spot by giving Scott a contract extension when he hasn't earned it. So therefore, Scott has no reason to make staff changes because you're either going to pay him or you're going to fire him. He could just tell Trev, no, I don't think I'm going to fire these guys that I believe in. And so we either have to fire him or, you know, live with what we got, unfortunately.
Well, so Jeff, here's where Scott's at. I think Scott wants to win. I don't know that he knows how to win 365 days a year and the most important days of the year that are in Saturday. If Scott doesn't win here, he's never coming back. That will be a stain on his entire Nebraska career, even for a guy that won a national championship. So I don't believe that he gets up and goes, well, I'm still going to get paid. It's his job to fix what is wrong. He just might not have the tools to fix what is wrong, and that's why there's somebody else that's above him that makes that decision that he is the problem, not the solution. So I don't think he's saying, well, they're gonna have to pay me anyhow if they fire me. That he can't. He's done in this state if he is not successful at Nebraska. There's no going back.
Gary, here's the problem. Scott has been scarred in his mind by the treatment that he perceived. He felt when he transferred back to Nebraska. And therefore, you know, he always felt that he was the better quarterback, and so he doesn't want to then pull the rug and his perception out under Adrian. And I personally got to speak to Tom Osborne over 10 years ago here in Huntsville, and I asked him, how was Scott in your perception in his first year? And he looked at me in the face and said he was not good his first year. He grew
in 1995.
Much
that's
better
true
from that point on. But I think this all stems from Scott's scarring of how he felt he was treated as the starting quarterback by the fans, and that's what's made him so stubborn about making any changes in his belief system. That's just my opinion.
Well, let me ask you this, Jeff, and then we got to move on to the next one. This is for everybody else. What do you think Scott's like without Adrian? What do you think Adrian is like without Scott? What if that's a realistic possibility next year? They're both still in college football.
I do not believe that Adrian will be here next year. He just can't. In my mind, he's a 50-50 quarterback. There's a 50% chance he's going to be able to hit a receiver without overthrowing him by 10 yards. Scott, on the other hand, in my perception, will stay. But I believe Trev has got to force quality changes on basically the whole offensive staff has got to go, and we get quality coaches and not hire your friends.
Jeff, thanks for the phone call. I think that's not a good sign if the power chair has to force changes. That tells me everything that I need to know. I mean, how many times we've heard in this particular sport, somebody suggests changes, you're not going to make changes. Well, I'm going to make a change with you. I want the guy that's in charge of the program. And this is why this is such a huge week. Do not just blow off this being a bye week for Nebraska. I watched Purdue and Minnesota come out of a bye week, and they were extremely well prepared, and they looked internally at their programs in two programs that were not having little numbers next to them on the scoreboard. This is a huge week for Nebraska's coaches. Players need to get off their feet. Probably need to get away from football for a week. But coaches self-scout each other. Why not have offensive coaches scout defense? Nebraska's defense, have Nebraska's defensive coaches scout the offense. Let's have some truth. Some truth. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. This is an important week for Nebraska to figure out where they're going out of this bye, to be prepared for Purdue, and to look like it when you show up a week from this upcoming Saturday. Plus, these coaches go on the road for the first time in a long time, either to find a gem in 2022, to flip somebody, to get started on 23, to get any momentum going there. This is a big week for Nebraska on the coaching staff. Coming out of a bye to be prepared instead of just, oh, we made it to a bye. But it's time to do some self-scouting. Thinking about the next 6 weeks, include those two byes, four games, and what it looks like in the future. But it says a lot more to me. If somebody's going to make changes, it's the coach that said, I've looked at our program, and what we need, I'm not getting here. So we've got to find the solution so it's not the problem. Instead of Bill Byrne going to Frank Solich and saying, hey, Frank, I wrote down on a piece of paper, these are the guys that I think you need to make a change, because my assessment is, instead of Frank going, I got to make the hard decision of some guys that have been with us for a long time, that I got to move on. That tells me a lot about the mentality of the head coach. Because there is no part of Scott, and he just may not have the tools to be successful at his alma mater. It may be too big. This job and everything that goes into it, 24/7, 365, may be too big for him. But I don't believe at any point he says, I'm still going to make $20 million. An extension is a piece of paper. You can extend the guy to 2050. That's a piece of paper. Now, sometimes you get an extensions in there and the buyout gets a little bit larger and then you're like, ah. But if Scott's not successful, how is he always seen in this state? Yeah. Yeah. Here is Mike. Hello, Mike. Mike?
Hey.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, ready to go on?
Yeah, Mike, you're on the air.
Oh, fantastic. So, you know, kind of going off a point that you had just before this, and, you know, you talked a bit about the recruiting, but before that, you know, we were talking, and the two previous callers have mentioned, you know, kind of forcing Scott to make staff changes to any number of assistants, depending on who people are upset with that week. But is forcing a head coach to make staff changes not an indictment of said head coach's ability to run the program?
Absolutely.
This is a head coach who just in January said it was largely his decision and that he may ask for pay raises if they get the job done this year, while also saying he was 100% confident that the special teams can operate at a high level with a senior analyst serving in the lead role.
Correct.
So I don't understand this kind of, and I don't lob you into this group, obviously, based on your own comments, but this prevailing thought within the fan base that seems to be that, you know, Scott can come back for 22 if he's forced into staff changes, and that's in no way a negative shine on his ability to lead the program.
If he was forced, that's not a good sign for him, because his number one job when he wakes up every morning, Mike, is how can this program get better every single day? And if he thinks that the program is fine as it is, then I think as the athletic director, that I know that the program is not fine as it is, and this is unacceptable, and we are better than this, so we have to find a way to get better every day. And if that is a new voice talking to a certain position group, then you have to. But if I have to force that on you, then that says a lot about my guy that's in charge of the program. We're together on that belief.
Yeah, I think it just, this idea of forcing staff changes, I don't know that it's a miracle cure-all when you have a guy in the head position who put a line in the sand, put his foot down, that nothing needed to change. And particularly during his time, both in the move from Central Florida and then, you know, in the 4 years he's been here, has only made one outside hire to his coaching staff in TUIOT for the D-line.
And here's the thing, Mike.
Everyone else is a retread or an offensive coordinator who got off the bench at a credit union in Colorado.
Mike, thanks for the phone call. The outside hire, the lone outside hire that was not, you know, connect the dots to Scott, Tony TUIOT has been one of his better hires. It's time to, if you're not already, to be uncomfortable. Scott making a change on the offensive line post Michigan State, good. Went into somebody else's position room and said, that guy, that guy, that guy, these are changing. Okay, you got the attention. He can do it. Does he want to? But it's time to be uncomfortable. But you can't look at the program first with the mindset, I'm here next year, and say, we're okay just one more year. Because something, especially in the offensive line, is not resonating. And because the offensive line is not an offensive line that just can line it up and mow you down, you become uncomfortable. Adrian Martinez is not here next year, and I don't expect him to be. You're looking at a brand new quarterback, possibly Logan Smothers. You rely, and I use the phrase with Scott and Adrian's relationship, it's a blessing and a curse, really probably for both of them, is they rely so much on Adrian. Whether Adrian's having a good day or a bad day, they rely so much on him. Are you going to be able to rely so much on a brand new starting quarterback when you play in Ireland to begin the 2022 season? Or do you think that you have the guy in charge or can find the guy that can get an offensive line? If you believe that your talent is good enough on the offensive line, it just needs a different voice in their ear and a different look and a different thought process. If you believe that that is out there and can be attained and brought in and it makes the offensive line something that you can rely on, where you don't get into what I think is a coming back to the front off of Saturday, is do you trust your offensive line and does your offensive line trust you? And it's a two-way street there. Does your offensive line trust you, but do you trust your offensive line? If I'm looking at decision-making, I'm probably saying, Greg Austin has... He coaches a position that needs to be so much better than they are and would probably be able to cloud over some flaws. That if you were able to run the ball when you wanted to, you could get away with some other things that aren't up to par. But the fact that, once again, in the red zone, you could not just line it up and run the ball down someone's throat 8 games into the season is a concern. And that your head coach calling plays isn't comfortable enough saying, we need 3, we're going to get 3 behind this offensive line. So why is that the case? Do you believe the talent isn't good enough? Do you believe that what's being taught, what's being said, is it just a different voice? Nice guy. But we just need a change there. We need someone, a different sounding voice in people's ears. you feel that way, then that's an easy call. But it should be your call, not somebody going, let me slide you a list and let's have a discussion at 8 o'clock at night about your coaching staff. And that's what Bill Byrne, said to Frank Solich. All right, one more call before the break here. This is Sam. Hello, Sam. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk about offensive line aside, the quarterback coach. This guy has not shown me any knowledge that he has that made Martinez any better. Martinez hasn't gotten better in the 4 years he's been under this guy's watch. Is it the fact that he doesn't understand the talent he has, or he just is not a quarterback coach? I think he should be one of the guys let go. You got a quarterback in Scott Frost. He ought to be teaching the quarterbacks, I would think, or get Turner Gill or somebody. This guy just isn't cutting it.
Well, I've wondered that, and Sam, thanks for the call. Scott in the offseason said he'd spend more time with Adrian, and I don't know if that's come to fruition. You don't hear him mention that very much. May also be a case where Adrian is Adrian, and Adrian is the same guy that they had in 2018. Now, that also comes back on you to what options do you have if it's not going to work. But Scott invested in Adrian and is not going to take out his deposit. As much as we wonder if that's going to happen, it's not. And it's been a blessing and a curse for both guys because they rely on him way too much. Way too much. And there, I've thought more about this. I was just talking to Josh and other guys around here off the air. Is what does Scott look like without Adrian, and what does Adrian look like without Scott? Who looks more different? Scott without Adrian and a brand new quarterback, or Adrian without Scott Frost? 11:49. It's Gary Sharp Show with producer Josh. Mike Schaefer's coming up in an hour, 1620 The Zone.